Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, February 25th session of the Portland City Council. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Fish? Fritz?
Here.
Leonard? Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Thank you. Could you please read the title to item number 170?
Request of Gay Harris to address council regarding Mayor Adams. Gay Harris?
Ms. Harris?
Oh, here she comes.
Good morning, Ms. Harris. Welcome to the City Council.
Good morning, Commissioners.
You just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Gay Harris. I live at 7803 North Emerald Avenue. I'm a family practice doctor. I'm here to protest Mr. Adams' continued presence in office. Only two other political experiences have provoked me to this level of outrage. The first was the outcome of the 2000 election. The second was last year's revelation about John Edwards, which effectively ended his political career. I had campaigned extensively for John Edwards. I stopped listening to news, I stopped the radio, everything, for 2 years after that election of 2004. The time that I lost with my at-risk teenager campaigning for John Edwards and my then 4-year-old son is time I will never get back. Mr. Adams, I ask you to consider for a moment how some of Portland's constituents are feeling. Imagine how victims of abuse are feeling about abusers getting away with their actions. Imagine the pain experienced by the gay community. A friend wrote to me, "As a gay member of our community, I am saddened by the stereotype that gay people prey on the youth of our society and that they think that we are creeps and perverts. As a gay woman in a monogamous relationship for the last 19 years, this sickens me to my core." Imagine how African Americans are feeling about you staying in office while the chief of police was removed for a relationship with a 40-year-old coworker. How is this fair to any city, state, or federal employee? Imagine how adults who are once at-risk kids are feeling. Those of us who are lucky enough to have an adult in our lives are very angry. We feel a deep and abiding gratitude to those adults. And we are outraged that your perversions of the truth have given mentoring a sleazy connotation. Finally, I would like to speak for our youth. We all know how hard adolescence is. It is particularly bad for boys. Many studies affirm that boys receive inadequate attention and support. One need only look at the suicide rate, which is 3 times higher among boys than it is among girls, and higher amongst gay boys than it is among heterosexual boys. Gay boys have the added burden of threats from a hostile society and are some of our most vulnerable citizens. I believe you would not have survived a week if your victim had been a girl, because society is more sympathetic to heterosexual girls than it is to gay boys. It is the ultimate irony that homophobic attitudes are keeping you going. The message your continued presence as mayor sends is if you look good, move in the right circles, are calculating, and engage in mutually exploitative relationships with older adults in the corridors of power, you will get ahead. You might be famous. You might even be on the cover of a magazine. Certainly, you can get a job. Mr. Adams, this is your legacy. Many of us would like to bury it as soon as possible. For our sake, please resign.
Thank you very much. Carl, will you please call item 171? To indicate your support, you wave your hands. Could you please the title to 171?
Request of Larry Crowley to address council regarding Mayor Adams.
Good morning, Mr. Crowley. Welcome. You just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Larry Crowley. I live here in Portland area. Thank you very much for Commissioners and Mayor Adams for letting me come before you this morning to speak. I'm going to tell you a little story about my grandson about 3 weeks ago. 7 years old, I'm coming down to Portland late in the afternoon. We're listening to a local radio station. And the topic of the mayor, Sam Adams, and a young man. My grandson, who is 7 years old, is listening in the back seat before I could get up and turn the radio off because it's not something I want him to hear. Questions he has for me. Grandpa, why was this man kissing this man? I said, well, grandson, his name is Aiden. This is a choice that this person makes. It's not right. I want to explain to him before somebody else does what is right and wrong. Little grandson, someone who is affected by those actions, because I explained to him who the mayor is in Portland, or any elected official. Integrity, the position comes with the position. So he now has a basic understanding. 17 years old, he hears, and I have to explain to him, this is a young man. I'm not here to condemn you, Mayor Adams. I'm here to address you. I'm very angry that I have to explain this to my grandson. 7 years old. I bring up the word reprobate. That's unprincipled. It's a corrupt person. That's Webster's definition of the things that you've done. The mayor sits here with the commissioners, and I'm shocked and stunned that nothing has been done yet to remove you from your position for what you've done. I'm not here to morally condemn you, but the lies and the things that I know now as a public and the voters, the people who work and live in Multnomah County here, this has been uncovered. The council members, commissioners, there's an accountability that you have to us voters. And I see that there's been a complete aberration of your responsibilities in allowing the mayor to remain in his position. These positions are created before and way after you guys are come and when you're gone. It's not about you. These offices are bigger than the persons who sit here. What you have left is the legacy for these young children coming up. It's the barometer that is left of the evil, and you're consenting to accept the lies and his conduct in this office.
Thank you, Mr. Crowley.
I ask that you remove him from office.
Thank you, sir. Your time's up. Could you please item... Could you please read item, the title to 172?
Request of Annette Smith Levy to address council regarding Mayor Adams.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. We just need your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
I am Annette Smith Levy, and I live here in Portland. First, may I ask that you offer me the courtesy of paying attention to my comments. During the weeks I have sat here as an observer, it has come to my attention you all seem too busy or maybe too embarrassed to give any presenter the slightest attention. The subject can be Mr. Adams and his resignation, or it can be a gentleman who's showing his water purification project. You ignore the speaker. This is distressing to me as a citizen. I've sat here for at least 4 weeks and watched as breakfast is eaten, drinks are consumed, when there's a sign outside that says, no drinks, no food. Now, one of the things I find interesting is that that just seems to fit right into how you don't feel like you have to be responsible for the rules. It's also apparent, commissioners, that you feel that you're somewhat above the fray. Members of the community have come to this body during the past 4 weeks asking Mr. Adams to resign. They seek a response to the myriad of questions they have about his behavior, his habit of lying before and after election, and the careers and lives he has tossed to the wind. Mayor Adams has promised that he will leave if he feels he is a detriment to the community, if he is determined that he is too important, too brilliant, too valuable to quit, when will you act? The proof of your brilliance is, of course, your predatory behavior in a city bathroom. with a 17-year-old. The $250,000 outdoor solar toilet you supported failed in the first weeks of inclement weather. Taxation of grocery bags gone real fast when things started to come down. And now the latest attempt, which will be announced this afternoon, to further murder local business by raising parking meter fees by 25 cents an hour and keeping those meters in force for until 9 p.m. Thinking that through, how will you handle that? Will these people be paid time and a half? Or will we have to hire people with new uniforms, more little carts, and the whole thing? I wonder how that pencils out. Take note, though, you have nothing to worry about. The instant that any of this gets a little dicey, Mr. Adams will disappear on a fishing trip, or is that to hide the fact and that Mr. Breedlove has surfaced in the community?
Thank you, ma'am. Your time is up. We appreciate your testimony. Could you please read item number 173, please?
Request of Rachel Allen to address council regarding Mayor Adams. She has left written testimony.
Okay, great. Item number 174, could you please read the title?
Request of Richard W. Hall to address council regarding Mayor Adams.
Good morning, Mr. Hall. Welcome to the Portland City Council. You just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Richard Hall, and I was born and raised in Portland, and I vote and pay taxes in this city. A leader is supposed to lead with a high level of ethical and moral standards, and Sam, you have not displayed that high standard. I do not need to review again the problems that you, Sam, have brought on the citizens of Portland, other than to say that hitting on a teenage boy as a middle-aged man was and is totally unacceptable. Denial of this activity when asked, crucifying the whistleblower and destroying his career to save your political goals, lying, and more lies and cover-up activities. To me, these are unacceptable behaviors, but especially in a person who is a public servant and a mayor. I picked up a code of ethics booklet for the city of Portland, and this publication was printed in 2003, and I wonder if you have a revision on the drawing board. On page 5 of the code, ethics means positive principles of conduct. One portion states something that I would appreciate it if you would read, Sam. Other principles rely on individuals' desires to do the right thing. I applaud the Portland Police Union for their statements requesting your resignation. It appears that the Portland Public School District have the same displeasure, and that is why you appointed a staff assistant to take your place in meetings to coordinate ongoing problems and activities with them. I wonder how many other departments are attempting to not have direct contact with you, Sam. On page 9 of the code booklet, the purpose of city government is to serve the public. City officials treat their office as public trust. Paragraph 1 states, to function effectively, the city needs the public's respect and confidence that its power will be used on behalf of the community as a whole. In this context, improper acts are doubly wrong. A selfish decision is not only wrong in itself, but also wrong because it violates the public trust in government. Paragraph 2 says, ensure public respect by avoiding even the appearance of impropriety. Deception and lying do not build trust, but they destroy it. You have affected Portland's moral and ethical level, and I assure you that your selfish behavior issue and lying was not in the best interest of the city of Portland. It appears to me that the other commissioners and staff of your city employees do not want to rock the boat in an open opposition to you because of your aggressive practice of destroying those who oppose you. I maintain that anyone else on this council, if they would show some leadership in your removal, would do a fine job as your replacement. Plus, they would have the public trust. You, on the other hand, believe that you are irreplaceable. I challenge you to get a bucket of water, stick your hand in it for a minute, withdraw your hand, and see what kind of hole you leave. That is the same hole you will leave in the political scene if you resign.
Thank you, sir. Your time's up.
Just one sentence. Okay. My hope and prayers are that you will resign soon rather than wait for alternative actions to remove you from office. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it very much. Carlo, I think we're going to do the consent item next, and I would like to send 179 back to my office unless there's objection, and as well 180. And, yeah. Does anyone else, unless there's objections, 179, 180, go back to my office? Okay. Anyone else would like to pull any other item from the consent agenda? If not, Carla, will you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda passes. And we're a little ahead of schedule, so unless there is objection, if we have the right staff in place, can we hear 189? Do we have staff in the room for 189? Oh, great. Can you please read the title, Carla?
Sam, you say we're ahead of schedule. We have a 9:30 time certain.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do?
All right.
Oh, thanks for catching that. Well, let's go ahead and do 189 because I think it'll be really fast. Sorry.
And then we'll 189. Sorry.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
I need to read the title. Excuse me. Authorized intergovernmental agreement with Metro for $409,392 for the Recycle Work Program and to implement the Portland Recycles Plan Business Outreach and Assistance Program.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I am Mary Leverett with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, where I serve as a Business Programs Manager. I'm here this morning to urge acceptance of an intergovernmental agreement from Metro Regional Government in the amount of $409,392 to fund the Recycle at Work program. This is a combined funding package for two aspects of the Recycle at Work program. The first Recycle at Work program is a very established program. It's been in operation for 5 years and has been funded by Metro. And this year is being funded in the amount of $220,000. The Recycle at Work program provides free hands-on assistance and resources to approximately 500 businesses a year in Portland, helping businesses to start or improve recycling practices and implementing office product practices such as sustainable purchasing of products and services. Several council members may be aware of the Recycle at Work program. In July of 2007, the mayor's office and five commissioners received Recycle Works awards for their sustainable practices. This year, Metro is also granting Portland an additional $189,392 to implement an expanded Recycle at Work program. These funds will implement the commercial section of the Portland Recycles Plan adopted by Council on April 30, 2008. Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff will be meeting with our director, Susan Anderson, in early March to discuss the business recycling outreach and assistance program implementation steps, and she in turn will be briefing the mayor's office. Our intent is to begin work with Portland's largest generators of paper and containers by offering free assistance and resources to meet council goals of recycling 75% of all waste generated by the year 2015. Again, I urge council to accept funds from Metro in the amount of $409,392 to support the Recycle at Work program. And I thank you for your time and consideration. I'm here to answer any questions you may have about this agreement.
Any questions from council?
A question, but I don't need the answer right now. I'd like some more information on how you come up with the appropriate amount of money that this services is worth. I was particularly interested in the $189,392 exactly for the business recycling program.
Later,
I'd like some more information.
Very good. I'll get that to you.
Thank you very much.
Especially the two extra dollars.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have a formula for that, and it's not of our making.
Oh, okay.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
I'd be interested in that.
Thank you.
Unless there are more questions from the council, we had a sign-up sheet. Did anyone sign up?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone in the room that would like to talk about the grant related to Council Item 189? If not, this is a non-emergency and moves to a second reading next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Now, back to the regularly scheduled program. Could you please read the title for Council Item 175?
Willamette River Combined Sewer Overflow Program.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, members of the council. It's a pleasure to bring you this update that we do twice a year on our big pipe project, or our combined sewage overflow project, which is doing things that are cleaning up the Willamette River. And particularly in these tough times, it's important to highlight the number of good paying jobs that this, the largest public works project in Portland's history, is creating and sustaining through these tough times. Paul Gribben and Dean Marriott from the Bureau of Environmental Services are here to fill us in. As I said, we do this twice a year. And as I said, one aspect we're all watching closely is the job creation that has come out of the CSO program. To date, over 7,000 construction jobs have been created by this effort, with many of them going to local, minority, and women-owned businesses. Dean Marriott will touch on this more during his presentation. Following the quick presentation, we do have some members of the East Side Big Pipe Advisory Committee who will give us their perspective of how the project is progressing. So I'll turn it over to Dean Marriott.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of the council. I'm Dean Marriott, Environmental Director for Portland. With me is Paul Gribben, our Chief Engineer in charge of the tunnel program. We're going to move fairly rapidly through this. As Commissioner Saltzman said, we try to come twice a year to update you on these important programs. First, just a slide to take you back for a moment about the just to give you a refresher here. We began this in the early 1990s when the city signed the agreement with the state of Oregon. We got busy with construction in the mid-1990s. And have hit all of our timelines along the road toward completion in 2011. Just to show you where we are in relation to the other communities around the country, we got started early, and we will finish ahead of most of the pack. I do need to amend this slide at some point because Atlanta is not, in fact, finished. They have quite a few more years to go. I think it's ironic with all of the attention focused to Washington, D.C. these days looking for help for our economic recovery. When somebody on Capitol Hill flushes, if it's raining, it goes into the Potomac or the Anacostia River. So they have a ways to go to catch up to us at this point. Again, just a couple of words on our progress to date. We started with what we call the cornerstone projects, taking roof drainage and drainage from buildings and putting it back into the ground. Most of those projects are finished. The Columbia Slough was the first leg of the stool to be cleaned up, that very valuable resource for North Portland. That work was finished in 2000 on time. Next was the west side of the Willamette. Those projects were finished on time with the West Side Big Pipe and other projects. And now we're doing the east side projects, and those are underway right now. The next slide is become well known as our ski slope slide. This, in fact, does not represent housing starts, but represents a cleanup of the Willamette and the Columbia Slough. It's important to remember that back in the 1970s, before the city really got serious about paying attention to the Willamette River, as much as 10 billion gallons a year of combined sewage flowed into the Willamette and the Columbia Slough. Now, the city did begin to pay more attention to this through the 70s and 80s, and that number came down to about 6 billion in the early 1990s. So a considerable improvement. But still, basically, when it rained, we had sewage getting into the river. When we began in the 90s, we really paid close attention to how we proceeded to get to the cleanup goals. And as you can see here, the progress we've made from 6 billion down to about 2 billion right now. And the east side projects that you'll hear more about in just a minute will take us to the finish line in 2011. Next slide shows you the projects that have been completed. As I said, the Columbia Slough outfalls are controlled in December of 2000. Some additional Willamette River outfalls controlled by the end of 2001. 16 outfalls controlled on the west side of the river December of 2006. And the remaining will be controlled by December of 2011. Just a quick word about Portland citizens. They've been enormously helpful in helping us reach this goal. We began the program of downspout disconnection back in 1996, and so far 25,000 homeowners have helped by pitching in to control stormwater on their own properties, and it really does pay off. It shows you what little incremental steps can do. 1.2 billion gallons a year of relatively clean rainwater are kept out of the sewer system as a result of the actions of these 25,000 homeowners, and they're to be thanked for this.
Can I just interrupt? Is that program, where is that program now? It used to be in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, but is it back in BE?
Yes, it is. It's with our staff, and they're working closely with the neighborhoods and business associations because it has been so successful that we've decided to keep it going. We had originally planned to shut it down, but it's so popular and successful, we're going to keep it going. So now we're going to focus on the Willamette River CSO Tunnel Program. There's a air photograph here that's a little difficult for you to see. But I'm going to turn it over to Paul Gribben, who's been working on this actually since the West Side Project began and has taken over for the East Side as well. Paul?
Good morning. This gives you an overview of what the West Side system looks like. This is the biggest piece of our CSO program. It shows you the West Side Tunnel and the East Side. As Dean mentioned, the West Side Tunnel is already in operation, and we're coming in on the East Side. This shows you the route of the East Side Tunnel from Southeast 17th and McLaughlin up through the under the Greenway corridor through the Central East Side Industrial District by the Rose Garden Arena and then up under the railroad corridor to Swan Island. What's in red shows how much of the tunnel has been done to date. So right now we're on our last lap on the North Drive to Port Center Way, which we hope to reach by August. And then the machine will be taken out, brought back to the opera site, and then it will complete the South Drive, which right now, if tunneling continues at the rate it's been going, we hope to be there by the end of 2010, ahead of our tunneling schedule. Our base contract, this is where we started out, the design originally done by Parsons Brinckerhoff, and the contractor is joint venture, German-American, Kiewit, Bilfinger, Berger. Original contract cost in 2006 was $381 million. And over the six-year contract period, we assumed about $45 million worth of inflation. So that equates to a contract total in 2011 of $426 million. So that was our base contract. In addition, we carried a construction contingency to cover the risks that we were going to be faced with the job. There are a number of risks in this type of work. And that was $38 million. So our total construction budget at the time was $464. So this is where we are right now. The green line shows our actual expenditures to date. And where the green line ends shows where we are right now. The dashed line shows what we projected to spend at this point. So you can see that we're underspent. And that's because a number of things have turned our way. Materials were less expensive than we thought. Equipment was less expensive. Inflation has not been what we originally thought it would be. And right now, if you look at the orange line, the projection at the end of the job, if things keep going the way they've been going, we are looking at a savings of about $40 million. And talk a little bit about the contingency budget. As I said, we originally had $38 million we carried to cover risks. And we update this risk analysis that we do about every 6 months. And what we try to do is eliminate the risks that have already passed and evaluate if there are any new risks coming up that we didn't consider before. So at this point, we're a little over halfway done. We've dropped our contingency budget down to $23 million. So we hope to continue to drop that budget as we go. Right now, we've had over 160 first-tier subcontractors so far. The overwhelming majority of them have been local subs. Our original goal for Minority Women Emerging Small Business Contracting was $26 million. We have reached $25 million so far. And in discussions with the contractor, Kiewit Bilfinger Berger, we think there's another $4 million worth of MWSB subcontracting left to go. So we hope to exceed our original goals. And right now, we have about 240 workers employed, currently employed on the project.
That's out of the whole billions? The 26 million?
That you'd use that in relation to the $400 million contract.
400, so it's 26 out of 400.
Yes.
Let me just say a word about employment here. As Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, this program over its life has employed direct employment and indirect employment thousands of people in the Portland area. We have a projection for what's remaining. And of the four main projects, which we'll talk about in just a minute, we expect to create about 1,000 jobs additional to what's already been created. So not only are we doing the important work to clean up the watersheds of Portland, but we are going to be investing this money locally, and it will have a positive impact throughout the economy.
We did promise we would have outside audits done as we went. We've just had an outside audit done on both project management side and the financial side. We currently have copies of the draft audits. The financial audit will still be ongoing. There are additional documents that we need to provide to facilitate completion of that audit. Project management audit is basically completed. Overall, we got pretty good reviews on how the job is being managed.
And obviously, if any of you want to see copies of the audits, we'll be happy to share them with you.
So the remaining challenges is, unfortunately, this is not just going to gradually taper out. We have a lot to do to come to completion in 2011. The three main pieces of the Willamette side that all tie together are the Swan Island Pump Station improvements, the Portsmouth Force Main, and then tying in the East Side outfalls. And so they have to come together in sequence. So our plan is right now to complete the addition of pumps at the Swan Island Pump Station by May of 2011, followed by completion and testing of the Portsmouth Force Main, and then followed by the tying in of the outfalls from the east side May, June, and July of 2011. That would be about 6 months ahead of our deadline. If any of those slip, we always have a plan B. So we do have time to deal with any problems that we have. But right now, that's our schedule, is to bring these three projects together, 1, 2, 3, within 3 months.
Let me just say that I know by now you've come to the conclusion, as I have, that Paul Gribben is a very talented engineer. I didn't realize he was a superb orchestra conductor, too, and this is really going to require, as he describes these closing elements of the program, a careful orchestration to get it to work right.
Hasn't been done yet, but anyway. Swan Island Pump Station, we have three new wet weather pumps we've got to install. The places for those pumps are already there. So right now we're closing in on 90% design on those three pumps, and we hope to have that out on the street here by early spring, and we'll have it done by May of 2011, as I mentioned. Portsmouth Force Main is going to be a very difficult job. We've got to go basically from the Swan Island Pump Station entirely across Swan Island, which is segment one, and then we go under the overlook bluff by the University of Portland under Willamette Boulevard to the railroad corridor up on Willamette Boulevard. So we'll be doing it in two pieces. They'll be done concurrently. It's about 3 miles, 66 diameter pressure pipeline. And segment two, which is the part under the overlook, is supposed to start here in, we should have it another month or so. And we plan to open bids on segment one across Swan Island by the latter part of March. And then I'll let Dean talk about the other two remaining challenges to meet.
Thanks, Paul. We have a couple other major pieces to this. One on the west side in the Northwest Industrial Area called the Balch Consolidation Conduit. It's to solve some long-term problems with our collection system in Northwest and also deal with the one remaining uncontrolled outfall on the west side of the river. And we'll show you a map of that area in just a moment. And the other is down in Selwood, where we need to build a new pump station to, again, control one of the remaining outfalls on the west side. And, Paul, between what Paul and I have described, and this is a map of Portland that shows you where these projects are. Of course, Swan Island is shown as number two, and number one is the connection to the Portsmouth Force Main, is the Portsmouth Force Main. Three shows the Balch Consolidation Conduit in northwest Portland. And four is way down the south end of the map, which is the Selwood Pump Station. Just a quick reference to the map. You can see we will snake this Balch Consolidation Conduit right through the heart of the Northwest Industrial Area. It's an 84-inch diameter pipe, and construction will start this spring and will be scheduled to finish late summer of 2011. So as you can see, this is one of those last bits of orchestration, which is going to be difficult to handle the timing. It's a very difficult place to construct. So that one is going to start this year. Next is the Sellwood Pump Station. It's a wet weather pumping station. It'll be constructed in the Sellwood area, just below the bluff there. Again, a very tight squeeze to fit this in. It's essential, though, to control one of the last remaining outfalls in southeast Portland. And just a couple of accomplishments. We've been recognized. The project is being recognized nationally and internationally. Tunnel Boring Machine magazine rated it as one of the top 10 projects in the United States. North America, we set a record for microtunneling, the length of a microtunnel drive recently, and we continue to enjoy a lot of community support around the city. We'd be happy to answer any questions you have. Following us is a report from the Eastside CSO Review Committee, and Dan Vannoy is here for Bill Martinek, the chair. But before we turn it over to Dan, I'd be happy to answer any questions from the council.
Questions or initial conversation from the council for our presenters? All right.
Thank you.
I just want to, having had this assignment for 4 years, I just want to underscore again my appreciation for your leadership, Dean, and Paul, for your excellent project management. The public is extremely well served by your efforts on what is the most difficult infrastructure project we've ever attempted to date. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor.
All right, and there we go. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. We just need your first and last name. And
good morning. Mayor Adams and City Council, my name is Dan Vannoy, and I'm here this morning to represent Bill Martinek. He was unable to come. What I'm going to talk about a little bit this morning is give you an update on the review committee fourth report to the City Council. Back in January 2006, the City Council appointed a review committee to oversee the project, and we were charged with the following items: to meet not less than quarterly, monitor environmental service efforts to meet success criteria, provide a forum for discussion of issues, and communicate the project status of the council every 6 months. So to date, I believe that there's been four of those status reports. The committee meets periodically with the contractor and city staff to review project progress and significant issues, provide a snapshot of the project status based on the meetings and observations, which I want to do this morning. There's 9 items that I want to just go over real quick. The first one is the progress of the work. Since our last report on July 9th last year, all activities required to meet the critical path are underway, including shafts, pipelines, and tunnel boring. Impacts of the gearbox replacement that occurred last fall have been mitigated and recovered, and the BES and contractor team's quick response and recovery from what might have been significant has earned the committee's admiration. Next schedule, this 5-year project is just over 60% complete. It is forecasted to finish ahead of schedule. Some activities not on the critical path have been resequenced until later in the job, and the critical path continues to run through the main tunnel boring and the rate of progress by the TBM. Next on the list is safety. The contractor has fostered a safety culture, reinforcing these goals as incidents have incurred, is maintaining an impressive ratio of total work hours to incidents, and has earned a commendation from Oregon OSHA for these efforts. Through December of 2008, there was 1,340,122 work hours expended, and lost time accidents per 200,000 work hours is 0.3, which is pretty awesome. Quality, the project management is quality conscious and tracks and addresses issues as they arise in a timely manner. The next item regarding subcontract work, the project is achieving its goals of subcontractor diversity, exceeding 40% of the subcontract value awarded, aggregating over $23 million. Apprenticeship training is an important component of the job and the job of the city's goals of apprenticeship training, 20%, and maximizing workforce diversity are being met. Regarding the budget, approximately $230 million has been expended to date, and this is consistent with the work in place and the project's duration. Potential claims against the budgeted contingency remain modest to date, and if current trends continue, we expect the contract will conclude with a savings. General impressions of the committee: the city has engaged a competent and conscientious contract team. Together, they are proceeding to prosecute the work and address issues in a timely manner, and they should complete all of the project goals. Regarding the project audits, the project management audit has been conducted by Olympic Associates Company. This audit was presented and reviewed by the committee at its February meeting. The committee supports the conclusion of the audit that overall BES and Kiewit Bill Fingerberger are doing a very good job in managing this project. An interim cost audit by Pacific Construction Consultants was also presented to the committee. The committee voted to wait until the audit was in its final form prior to undertaking a review. As such, the committee would like to invite future auditors to attend a regularly scheduled meeting to provide input. And currently, the committee chair, Bill Martinak, is currently serving as the chairman, and Kate Dreyfus has volunteered to serve as vice chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you for all your volunteer time.
Thank you for mentioning the apprenticeship opportunities, too. That was something we left out. Very important.
Did anyone sign up to testify?
No one else signed up.
Is there anyone that would like to testify on this report? If not, do we vote on it?
I think we vote.
Is this a resolution, Carla?
It's a report.
Move to accept the report.
It's been moved. Do I hear a second?
Sir.
Been moved and seconded to accept the report, unless there's additional council discussion. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Fritz? Well, it's important to recognize that sewer rates are high, and it's challenging for citizens to pay them in these difficult times especially, and also that citizens are therefore investing in cleaning up our American Heritage River, which is what the Willamette is designated. And so I certainly appreciate these frequent reports. Good job, both Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Adams, for your work on directing the Bureau in this, and certainly all the staff work that's been done is excellent. And we as the Council will continue to be looking at the contracts as they come through and making sure that we stay on time and under budget. And it is putting Portlanders to work, and we're going to continue to work to make sure that that happens even more. So thank you very much. And I vote aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I just want to acknowledge Mayor Adams and his previous tenure as the Bureau of Environmental Services Commissioner. I'm pleased to now be the Commissioner once again to oversee this project to its completion. By December 1st, 2011, we will be completed. And just to acknowledge the incredible work, I think as Mayor Adams said, this is a very complicated and large public works construction project. Anytime you're digging over 100 feet beneath a city that's grown up over 150 years, you never know what you're going to encounter, what kind of difficulties, and it's been, it's almost seemed flawless, and it practically has been flawless, and as Commissioner Fritz just said, it's on time, a little bit under budget. We hope to maintain that under budget in the next year and two ahead, and I just want to acknowledge the incredible team at the Bureau of Environmental Services, the contractor, all the many subcontractors who are benefiting from this project and delivering Portlanders and our ratepayers something of value for generations to come. It's a very important project resulting in cleaner rivers, a greener city, and a much-needed job stimulus at this point in time. Please to vote aye.
Leonard?
Well, what Dean and others didn't mention is this project was actually completed on the Columbia River Slough some years back. And for those of you who appreciate history and are lovers of Portland history, Lewis and Clark actually camped at the Columbia River Slough and wrote about it in their journals. And what was sad was the state that we allowed that slough to become as basically a toilet for decades, if not a century or more. It is now restored back to its pristine state. And if you ever have an opportunity to go to the slough and walk around the various walking tours, it is amazing the work BES has done there as a result of this project of taking sewage out of the slough. So I'm a big fan of this project and appreciate all the good work that's been done, and the benefits to Portlanders are really incalculable. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks for the acknowledgement for the sort of back and forth that Commissioner Saltzman and myself have had on this particular project. Portlanders should feel very assured it is in experienced, capable hands, not only at the management and staff level at BES, but also with the commissioner in charge. So I'm glad we're on time and slightly under budget. Aye. All right, that gets us to the time certain at 10 o'clock. Item number 176, could you please read the title?
Recognize Mark Jolin, recipient of the 2008 Steve Lowenstein Trust Award.
Commissioner Fish.
Art, you want to come forward with Mark? As the Parks Commissioner, it's my honor to be able to introduce this presentation. I'm reminded regularly about what a small community we live in and how the connections between Portland and the rest of the world are growing smaller. But this one actually takes the cake. Because I, long before I ever came to Oregon, I was actually channeling Steve Lowenstein a little bit, because my next door neighbor was named Evelyn Strauss. And Evelyn Strauss was, her first husband was named Albert Lowenstein. And Albert Lowenstein was Steve's dad. And I did not know about Steve Lowenstein, but I knew a lot about Evie Strauss, because she was one of the most effective community organizers I've ever met. And she died at age 92 a month ago. And Joe Hertzberg sent me her obituary, which appeared in a New York paper. And I remember Evelyn as being a real pain in the butt on community issues. I mean, she was tenacious. She never gave up. And for those of you who have ever have traveled to New York City and been to Lower Manhattan, there's a park called Union Square, which is sort of bridges the Greenwich Village and the Flatiron District. And in the late 80s, it was a park that was known mostly for the illegal activity that occurred there. It was sort of an informal needle exchange park. And Evelyn Strauss was part of a community coalition that took up this cause. And if you've been to New York in the last 15 years, you know that Union Square Park is one of the great parks of the city. But Carol Greitzer, who was a former member of the New York City Council, described her as follows. She knew all the players, and she knew how to bug people when she wanted to get something done. And I had the great honor of serving with her on a community board for a number of years, and she was hugely effective, and she will be missed. But the more I've learned about Steve Lowenstein, the less surprised I am about his roots and the connection to Evelyn and to Albert Lowenstein. And as my colleagues know, Steve Lowenstein was Mike Lindbergh's exec for a number of years. So, I mean, I could stop there, because to me that speaks volumes. If he was the person in charge of Mike's office, that puts him in pretty rare company. But he was much more than that. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of things which I think people may be interested to know. He's the author of a book called The Jews of Oregon, which is really, when it was written in the late 80s, was kind of groundbreaking. We are not the most ethnically, racially diverse community in the world, but the history that he documented in this book is superb. And I commend it to people who want to read it. I think it's
It's the Jewish Historical Society of Oregon. It's just a superb book. When I came to Oregon, I read it and learned about Gus Solomon and Myron Frank and so many of the people who have done great work. But for me as a lawyer, what I will remember most is that he was the founding director of Oregon Legal Services. And that's a big deal, because the legal services movement, for those of us who have the honor to practice law, is something we feel very strongly about, because but for legal services, low-income people in our community would not get the vital services they need. And as the founding director, he and a group of other visionary people, including Charlie Williamson and so many others, had this vision that in Oregon we could do it differently. And Oregon Legal Services is the national model. And there are now legal services offices throughout the state. And I'm very pleased to say that because of the success of Oregon Legal Services, the Campaign for Equal Justice was formed, which provides $1 million of support annually from lawyers to support the good work of legal services. Now, of course, too few people still get the services they need. And we need more resources. But he was the founding director of a movement here which has made a huge difference in people's life. He also served in the Peace Corps. You know, Steve Lowenstein, the more I've learned about him, I've come to see him as sort of the model of what we'll call a servant leader. And his integrity and his passion for social justice informed everything he did. And when he died, his friends got together with his widow, and they created something called the Steve Lowenstein Trust. And this is the seventh time that the Steve Lowenstein Award has been given. 17th, excuse me. And I want to read to you what the trust recognizes. The Steve Lowenstein Trust annually recognizes an individual who has made an extraordinary personal effort and sacrifice to improve the quality of life for distressed and vulnerable populations in the city of Portland. And when you look at the people who've won this award, it's literally a who's who. I think in some ways, for those of us who care about social justice and equity, it may be the most important award that is given annually. And I am so proud that this year the honoree is Mark Jolin, the executive director of JOIN. We know Mark because we contract with him and count on him, particularly during inclement weather, to provide special services and outreach to homeless people, individuals, and families in our community. And we know that JOIN is literally responsible for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people being moved off the street into permanent housing. But what I also want you to know is that the model that JOIN has pioneered is a model that people look to nationally. And Mark is absolutely one of the best partners we have in the city in dealing with homeless individuals and families. I could spend all day going through Mark's resume. I'll just highlight the fact that he began his work on behalf of the homeless in the late 80s while in college, delivering blankets and sandwiches and basic items to people sleeping on the sidewalks of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. After college, he worked for Transition Projects as the assistant manager of the St. Francis Dining Hall. And that's a place that serves about 300 hot meals a day to homeless and low-income people. He was involved with the Burnside Advocates Group, organizing homeless voter registration drives. In 1994, before going to graduate school at the University of Chicago, he spent a semester at the University of Munich studying homeless policies and service delivery models. After graduating from the University of Chicago Law School, he worked statewide in Illinois with the Housing Action Coalition and the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless. Following law school and a clerkship at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, which is about the most prestigious job you can get out of law school, he worked as a staff attorney for the Homeless Law Project at the Oregon Law Center. He served on the board of JOIN and was involved in a number of city committees that were looking into homeless and housing issues. He left Oregon Law Center and did some private practice work, but he quickly came back into the fold. And in 2006, he was hired to become the executive director of JOIN. Mark is a gem. He is not just a hugely effective nonprofit director in a very tough field, but he is also a deeply principled and very humble guy. And I'm sure the last thing he wants to do is be here before us today to accept this award. And I'm quite certain he will try to deflect this award onto everyone else and give the credit to everyone but himself. But I just want to tell you, as the housing commissioner for the city of Portland, I can't think of anyone who is more deserving of this award. And after having worked with Evelyn Strauss for a dozen years and then learned about Steve Lowenstein, I can't think of anybody who better embodies the spirit of this award than Mark Jolin. So it's my honor to turn it over to Art Alexander, who's going to tell us a little bit more, and then we'll hear from Mark. Art?
Art Alexander, and thank you, Commissioner Fish, thank you, Mayor and Council, for allowing us to make this presentation. I'd have to say that, Commissioner Fish, you said pretty much everything I was going to say. So I will say first that I'm here on behalf of Michelle Harper, who is our chair, who was unfortunately struck by the flu and couldn't be here. This is like her favorite thing to do, and she's been doing it for the last several years here in front of council, so she extends her wishes and her apologies for not being able to be here today. I also would like to ask the members of the Lowenstein Trust who are here to quickly stand up.
Those who are here.
Thank you. And I just wanted to add that the Lowenstein Trust exists because Steve wanted one. I mean, part of what you said was true, but Steve said he wanted to create this kind of award to recognize the people who are generally unrecognized or not recognized sufficiently for serving the needs of the underserved in the city of Portland. So it is with great pride that we present the 2008 Lowenstein Award to Mark Jolin. And thank you for all of the great services that you've provided to the citizens of Portland.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Are you blushing?
I am. Absolutely blushing. So thank you for this award. It would be an honor to get it in any event, but it is especially meaningful because Steve Lowenstein was a family friend when I was growing up. Spending time at his house with Sandy and their kids, I knew what a kind and interesting person he was, but honestly, I had no idea how much he was contributing to the community. And I didn't know that he was central to the creation of legal services in Oregon. I probably didn't know what legal services was at that point. But it does mean an enormous amount on a very personal level to receive an award that has his name attached to it. I was actually thinking back on the people who I worked with on homelessness issues when I came back to Portland in 1992, because it's truly one of the great things about this city that there are so many people who are committing large parts of their lives to trying to achieve social justice for low-income people. When I started at TPI, I worked for Jean DeMaster. She is now the Director of Human Solutions and joins partner on the Family Warming Center. I worked with a woman named Shelley Dixon at TPI, who to this day continues to work one-on-one with people, helping them get off the streets. I was working with Rob Justice, who was just getting joined off the ground at that time and had been working at St. Francis Dining Hall as well, and I took over for him just a couple of years ago, and he's off doing affordable housing development now. I was working with Mark Connaughton, who was homeless at the time. He helped us negotiate the 24-hour notice posting requirement with Mayor Katz, and Mark just retired from the board for health reasons, joins board last year. And then there are the people at Steve Lowenstein's organization at Legal Aid. And when I, in 1992, started doing organizing work with homeless folks, I went and met two people, Karen Grimaud, who is a paralegal at, or was a paralegal at LASO, and Mickey Ryan, who was an attorney. And both of them had been working, representing low-income people in the courts for years when I met them, and both of them are still there, like so many other attorneys and staff people at Legal Aid who give basically their entire careers to this work. They're both still at their organizations today. So I feel very fortunate to be living in a city where